next time certain item, which is 1422.
Appropriate $300,000 of contingency funding from the city's general fund to the Portland Bureau of Transportation for emergency Vision Zero improvements and community engagement efforts on Outer Division.
Well, this is a timely item, and I appreciate us being able to get this on the council calendar. You know, we're a safer city in a lot of ways than we were once. Our homicide rate is down quite a bit, although we still have a serious gang violence problem. Drug overdoses are a plague on our city, and we haven't even yet addressed the issue of fentanyl that is devastating other cities, blessedly not here much yet. And yet, traffic violence is up markedly and tragically. And having had two of our neighbors killed in one day on one street was a terrible reminder of how much we have to do to really achieve Vision Zero. We have a lot of streets in our city that were not designed for pedestrian and bicycle safety, and in fact were designed for speed or automotive speed, and that's deadly, and we keep relearning that lesson. So this appropriation allows us to do a little more quickly, and I appreciate us being able to put that together. I think maybe my colleagues have some comments before we start as well.
First, Steve.
Thank you, Mayor. On the evening of December 7th, less than a week after the council passed the historic Vision Zero language, we had two Portlanders lose their lives to traffic violence. Both deaths occurred on the same night and on the same street, Outer Division. And while in-depth analysis of these particular incidents is still in progress, nothing changes the fact that we have years of data showing that travel speeds in our high-injury network streets like Division continue to hurt and kill Portlanders. I want to acknowledge Margie Bradway for her efforts immediately after these tragedies. She was immediately in communication with community and Lori Boyson from the Division Midway Alliance, who do work along Outer Division. So when the mayor convened a conference call to discuss these incidents, again, the day after they occurred, and I really appreciate the mayor's quick attention to this issue. Margie had already had some of those conversations and had some suggestions from the community and herself to offer us. The mayor convened a conference call with Leah Treat, Chief Marshman, and other city staff working diligently to make our streets safer. And PBOT and the police bureaus identified strategies that could be utilized to make Outer Division safer. These strategies include a mix of infrastructure improvements and the deployment of fixed speed safety cameras, which were already on PBOT's agenda. We discussed whether the timetable for some of those could be accelerated. But Margie had also discussed with community leaders the idea of multilingual and culturally competent outreach material for people walking, driving, and biking in the area. Examples of that might include traffic signs in different languages. We know that those are tools that are proven to decrease the rate of traffic violence in our streets. Although the infrastructure improvements and the fixed speed safety cameras are funded through PBOT's existing budget, we don't have funding for that kind of outreach, which is why the mayor suggested that we bring a proposal to council for general fund contingency to be used to do some of that outreach. So, Mayor, I want to thank you for your role in convening this effort and your urgency in addressing the deaths and injuries occurring on our streets. And I'll turn it over to Margie Bradway, PBOT's Active Transportation and Safety Division Manager, who can provide more information about our efforts and our thoughts about what we can do immediately.
Thank you, Commissioner. Mr. Fish, anything before Margie begins?
Yes, Mayor, thank you. Steve, I think the work you've done around Vision Zero is among the most important things that you've done during your 4 years on the council. And we have committed to continuing that work in the future. And I just want to, again, thank you for the tremendous leadership that you've shown on Vision Zero. The skepticism we sometimes hear is, it's a wonderful concept, is the city willing to act and put it into action? And today I think our action speaks loudly. If we can take actions like this and prevent one person from having to go through the trauma of losing a loved one, then we will have done something important. And I want to thank the mayor and Commissioner Novick for bringing this forward so quickly.
Thank you very much. much. Other comments? Ms. Bradway, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you. My name is Margie Bradway. I'm the Active Transportation and Safety Division Manager. Thank you. It has been my absolute honor, just to repeat, to work with Mayor Hales and Commissioner Novick on these safety issues. I'm going to try to keep my comments brief so you can hear from community members. I want to recognize that quite a few people from East Portland are in the room and have traveled here today to testify. So three slides, which is short for me. So just a reminder that when we brought the Vision Zero Action Plan, we introduced you to the concept of the high crash network. You can see on the map that Outer Division and Division is a high crash corridor. The circles on this map indicate high crash intersections. This is unfortunately where Mr. Jing and Mr. Wu died while crossing Division Street, right near those high crash intersections. The ordinance before you today is going to provide much needed funding for outreach and education. This was something that we piloted in 2014 with the PANO and other groups to do train-the-trainer programs on pedestrian safety with my staff, Sharon White, in different types of safety classes and training in Cantonese, Hmong, and Russian. We're going to do more of that in addition to materials and outreach and street teams. A very specific request that came from community was having more traffic signs and wayfinding signs in different languages. This money will allow us to do that. And also, I don't want to skip over it, very importantly, we're also going to have a community forum and listening sessions. The first step in any outreach effort is listening and partnership, and this money will allow us to do that. In addition to this ordinance, we have we're taking other actions. Probably the most significant action is we're going to accelerate the installation of fixed speed cameras on Division. You may remember when we presented to you about 6 months ago, I guess it's been 9 months now since we presented to you on fixed speed cameras. We proposed to do 6 month rollout of every camera. So we have cameras pointing east direction on Beaverton-Hillsdale Highway. Our next set of cameras was going to be on 122nd in January. That's still slated for January. And then Outer Division at 156th was slated for July. We're moving up that installation and installing the cameras on 122nd and on Outer Division at the same time. The cameras have been hugely successful. We talked about this a little bit at their Vision Zero presentation. On Beaverton-Hillsdale Highway, they reduced speeds by 95%. Top end speed.
So is that installed by January of 2017?
Installed by January. That does not mean, so there's installation, Xerox, our vendor has agreed to install them by then, and it's within their contract. We are meeting with the courts on January 5th and police to figure out when the warnings, when the citations begin. We can start warnings, and we can start citations. When the citations begin, that will have an impact on court staffing as well as police staffing. We're still working out those details. Thank you, Commissioner Salzman. In addition, we'll be installing speed reader boards. These are also known as cheap and effective methods for slowing speeds. And once we do the first two steps, then we will be pursuing a speed reduction of 30 miles an hour with ODOT. And I'm happy to answer questions on how those speed requests work. But it is generally better to get the 85th percentile speed down before you put the request in. It's something that ODOT considers.
But can you give us a quick primer on how that works in terms of the request to ODOT and what's the process they go through?
Sure. So generally, we put in a request to ODOT to lower speed. If there's an existing work order and it doesn't fall within our statutory categories, they will look at different features of the road, and they heavily weight what is the current 85th percentile speed. The current 85th percentile speed on our last data collection is around 42 miles an hour, even though the posted speed is 35 miles an hour. And so to just change the posted speed right now, ODOT's answer would say, well, that's a little bit of an uphill battle because you're not doing enforcement or the design speed is faster. Does that make sense? So the road is designed to be faster. So we're going to, you'll see my next slide, proposed to do engineering improvements as well as enforcement to complement the posted speed.
Can I ask you just, Margie, a provocative question?
Sure.
If the mayor or the commissioner in charge on any street within the physical boundaries of our city made a judgment that there was a clear and present danger to public health and safety and decided to unilaterally reduce the speed postings as a matter of public safety. And I'm reminded that the mayor has actually the power to shut down the street. The mayor can declare it unsafe, have a firefighter, have a fire truck block it, can route people off, can direct the Water Bureau to bring up the pipes. We can do, the mayor has a lot of power if he wanted. What is the consequence if we just engage in self-help if we choose not to wait for ODOT?
Commissioner Fish, with all due respect, you don't have the authority to do that currently. The
I understand.
The law is clear.
And I'm not trying to put you. I'm not trying to get you to violate any oath. I'm just saying. I'm just saying, if the council chooses to act, what is the practical recourse if we act ahead of ODOT? If the mayor just directs to have new signs put up at some point, what's the consequence?
Police. I would have to look into it. But the police probably couldn't enforce it if it wasn't consistent with state statute. The best way to do that is to go to the state legislature and ask for local control of speed. That is something that we have discussed with the legislative team, and we've discussed with certain partners of pursuing at the state legislature office.
Yeah, and so again, just before Leah continues with this discussion, it's important. I think a lot of people don't understand that ODOT has this authority not just on ODOT facilities.
Right.
In other words, Powell is an ODOT facility. Highway 26 is an ODOT facility. But Division is a city street. Nevertheless, we have to ask ODOT for speed changes on Division.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you for that clarification.
That's the current law.
The current law
is that ODOT has jurisdiction over every road, all roads in the state of Oregon.
But I'm just, at some point, maybe after this hearing, I'd like to know, what is the practical consequence? The director of ODOT comes and expresses displeasure to the mayor? They dismiss.
Yeah, that's happened.
What about if we left the 35 signs up and put underneath a new one that said, please drive 30? So you wouldn't be able to cite for people going between 30 and 35, but it would, like the signs people have slow children playing.
Yeah.
There's no practical enforcement to that either, but it does let you know.
Yes, Commissioner Fritz, we could do that, and we've looked into verbal message signs would probably be the most appropriate way to do that. Thank you.
Ms. Treat, I think you had some comments you wanted to add to Margie's presentation on this subject.
Oh, no, I think she's doing a magnificent job. I just saw it veering in a different direction and wanted to be here to support.
When we're asking a city employee how to break state law, yes. Thank you for bailing her out. But it is.
I appreciate your support.
She doesn't need my bailing out.
We do want to move on into the discussion, but it is an important issue for the legislative program next year.
I'm glad, Mayor, that you, on the record, clarified that we have to seek this permission even on roads that we are responsible for.
Right.
So it isn't just on the state roads. It's on a road that may pass by a school where you may determine there's a imminent public safety issue, but you still have to get permission of a state actor.
Right. And there's, again, we don't want to get into the legislative discussion in depth now, but I want to flag that. I think there's obviously a strong interest on the current and I suspect future council to include that in the legislative program, that having at least more, if not total, local control over speeds on arterial streets is a reasonable thing to ask for. It's crazy, in my opinion, to have ODOT making these decisions. I understand there used to be small towns that were speed traps, and so that's perhaps a rationale for why the state's been involved. But we're not a small town, and these aren't speed traps. So there ought to be, at least for larger cities with a big network, an exception, and let us do our job, my opinion. So, sorry.
Correct. Wholeheartedly agree. Thank you. I'm happy to brief you in depth, Commissioner Fitch, another time.
Okay.
I'm not cut off my...
Yep, there you go.
So the last piece of this in terms of next steps on Division is, of course, infrastructure changes. And through what we call EPAT, East Portland Active Transportation Grant, as well as federal safety funding, we have many projects lined up. In fact, we have approximately $7 million of funding lined up for Outer Division. We're doing our best right now to accelerate those projects. There are many pedestrian projects that include median islands, hawk signals, and rapid flashing beacons. Many of those, approximately three of those, will go into construction this summer and be completed by the end of the year. And we're seeing if we can move forward with our partners, ODOT and TriMet, and the federal government to accelerate those projects. The last piece on the engineering side is that through Commissioner Novak's leadership on fixing our streets, there was money allocated for outer division for protected bike lanes, approximately $168,000. Director Treat has agreed to take extra GTR in our budget and add $500,000 to make it a complete traffic calming project. So the project will now include pedestrian refuges, lighting that the community has much asked for, as well as other ways to slow the speed down. We are looking at doing that by removing parking right now, and it would also potentially restrict some access points. We will be bringing a couple different options to the community and getting community input on that traffic calming project. And that is all I have. There is a map that you should have received in your handout. It's difficult to see, but here's a visual of everything that I talked about, from speed reader boards to photo camera to the projects slated for 2017-18. Yes, Commissioner Fritz?
Thank you. I was glad you mentioned lighting, because we just yesterday had a Parks Board a Budget Committee meeting in the East Portland Community Center, and driving back in the dark and rain, even though the streetlights have been changed to the LEDs, it was still not enough streetlights. So I do hope we're working with the streetlight providers to add more lighting where it's needed everywhere. And the other thing, I apologize for not seeing this before, but we need to correct the findings. Number one, it says 41 people have died on Portland streets in 2016 since December 11th. So I think you meant or through December 11th. It's a horrific number. I just wanted to clarify that, and I hope you'll accept that as a friendly
Scrivener's error. That's a Scrivener's error. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. Other questions for our staff? Thank you both very much. I know we have a number of people from the community that are here to speak, so...
More invited testimony first.
Have some invited testimony, Steve.
Yes, we have invited testimony from Rosaline Hoey, Duncan Huang, and Lori Boyson.
Please come on up. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome.
So, my name is Rosaline Hui, and I'm the editor of the Portland Chinese Times, the local Chinese newspaper, and I'm also the steering committee member of the J District. So thank you for giving me this opportunity to share a sad story of our community. On December 7th, we have a community elder, 65 years old man, Mr. Chang, when he was get off from work at a restaurant, which he is doing a dishwasher, and then he walked home. On his way home, he was hit and killed by a car. And this was so sad. And when I heard of this news, and I was thinking whether this will be Chinese. So on the second day, and then I find out it was a Chinese, so we, together with a few of our members, we try to find out and this family and see if they need help. So finally, we get a hold of them. Actually, is only his wife here. So we went to his house, and the wife was so hopeless. And he told me that on that day, he was, like usual, expecting his husband to come back to work and come back from work. But he didn't. And then around maybe 11, she was so worried. So she walked the path where his husband used to walk every day to work, and then tried to, hoping to see his husband. But when she walked along the path, and at the end, she saw the police cars. She was so saddened, and she was praying that it was not his her husband. But finally, it is. And she knew no English, but he, with the help of her niece, he would be able to communicate with the police there. So. They are, he is 65 years old, both couples are 65 years old, and then they just come to stay here for a year's time. And they come here, look for a better life, and also trying to find opportunities for their son and their grandkids to have a better life here. but because of death of Mr. Chang, it's all, it seems like it's all vanished. So, and when I saw her, she was so hopeless, and no English speaking, and doesn't know what to do. So our community members are coming together to trying to help her. So in this case, we just, our community member, everybody pinch in to help with money and with like funerals arrangements. We care about our community members so much, but we don't want to care them in such a sad way. So we do think that the city can do something on the road safety in that area, because that is in the J District area, mostly the people there are immigrants, and a lot of them are new immigrants. They don't drive. They walk on the road to work and to buy things and do grocery and everything. They just walk. And the vision is just such a horrible role. In our Chinese saying, every day when we walk into the street, it's just like we are walking into a tiger's mouth. You just put your life into danger. So just like 2 years or 3 years ago, we have another accident that we have another elder that's killed and crashed. And we think that within 3 years, two of our elders are killed by a car. This is already too much for us. So we are, you know, everything is talking about equality, equity, and justice. When we're talking about road safety, we want to have this too. So we really hope that if we can have the road sign into different languages, like not only Chinese, there are a lot of Vietnamese or other people there, then different languages, at least the people that, you know, they understand and they know what it's talking about and what should they do, and also educating them in different languages is really important. And the vision is really, the role is too wide. It's really takes, it seems like it takes forever to cross the road. So it's really dangerous, and we really want the car to lower their speed. And also at the nighttime, the visibility is really low, and we really think that all these matters cause what happened. And last night I received a call from one of the community members that saw years ago another elder was hit and killed by a car. He told me that you need to tell them that there's not only these two cases that everybody know. There is a lot of small accidents too. He see it very frequent because his car lot is just in the middle of that section of the road. So we do hope that the city can do something to help this helpless people in our community. Thank you
very much. Mr. Huang, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, City Council. My name is Duncan Huang. I'm the Associate Director at Apano in the Jade District. And I'm here to say that our neighborhood and our community is facing a crisis in public health. Our elders are dying in our streets, and we believe that these are preventable. Traffic safety is not a new ask from us. You know, since we started working in the J District 3 years ago, we started with a multilingual community visioning. We did this in Chinese, in Vietnamese, in Russian, in Spanish, in English. And, you know, the issue of traffic safety and walkability was not just unique to the Chinese community or Vietnamese community. Every community, you know, said that these streets are dangerous and something must be done. So in our vision, we've really prioritized the infrastructure investments, the lighting, and in language signage. So we can't continue to let these happen. And, you know, working in the diverse neighborhoods of the J District and Division Midway. These are diverse areas, and the solutions that we need are diverse as well. So in the short term, like, we want to get started next week. You know, we want to do our listening sessions and outreach to our community members. This is something that people have asked about. We want to have, you know, town halls with our decision makers and with PBOT. And we want to get to work on signage. Like, these are things that we can do starting tomorrow. In the midterm, you know, these are really things that are more infrastructure focused. You know, we want to see crosswalks. Community members have actually identified specific intersections where crosswalks would be helpful. We want to see slower speeds, and we want to see lighting. And in the longer term, you know, outer division really just needs a complete street redesign, traffic calming, and potentially a road diet. So these are things that we would like to explore, you know, with our decision makers over the long term. But it's going to require multiple interventions to really move the dial on traffic safety. We believe that infrastructure is key, but, you know, I know these things take time, and we can't do nothing in the meantime. So we want to get started with the education and outreach immediately. I was on the Vision Zero Task Force, and I believe that these accidents are preventable, and that our vision for having no fatalities in our streets can't be achieved until the most vulnerable in our community feel safe and are protected as well. So I urge the City Council to pass this emergency ordinance and to act in all due haste to fix our streets. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Laura.
Hello, Council Mayor. I'm Laura Wintergreen with the East Portland Action Plan. Lori Boyson was supposed to be here, but she was sick instead. So she asked me to read her testimony. And she says, Division Midway Alliance is asking City Council to approve the Outer Southeast Division near-term strategy, safety strategy, which is currently under consideration. As you know, Division Midway Alliance district boundaries are from 117th to 148th Avenues on Division, and the largest percentage of fatalities this year have occurred in the Division Midway Alliance district. While all pedestrian fatalities impact the community, Division Midway Alliance staff, volunteers, and board members have personally felt the impacts of recent fatalities in and around the district. Damon Burton, who was struck near 122nd in Division in September, was a tenant of the Division Midway Alliance president. Mitch Yu, the most recent fatality at 156th and Division, frequented Division Midway Alliance Myanmar community office hours. The Outer Southeast Division near-term safety strategy is a good start to the needed safety improvements along Outer Southeast Division Street. PBOT's Portland Bureau of Transportation's recognition of the importance of pedestrian education in this area is essential to the success of this program. A large percentage of the residents living in and around Division Midway Alliance District are immigrant refugee New Portlanders, many of whom as refugees, and a large percentage of these residents are pedestrians. Navigating a 7-lane road, which Division Street is considered, in the Midway District is difficult and dangerous. Further, understanding Oregon's pedestrian laws can be confusing for new Americans and new Portlanders, let alone residents who do not use English as a first language. Signage in language and, she stresses, in picture will be essential to the success of this project. In picture refers to using symbols to explain pedestrian laws and recognizes that a significant number of people are immigrant refugee New Portlanders and may not be literate in their own language, let alone English. Division Midway Alliance is pleased to see that the strategy has basic infrastructure improvements such as additional crosswalks, sidewalks, and speed cameras. As stated earlier, this is a good start towards achieving a Vision Zero for this area. However, Division Midway Alliance urges City Council to establish a longer-term strategy that will change the landscape of Division Street. Division Street needs a road diet. Community has called out road safety as the number one issue impending livability on Division Street, and Council has the power to address that. Division Midway Alliance urges City Council to approve the Outer Southeast Division near-term safety strategy, which will be a significant step towards creating a safer, more livable outer Southeast Division Street and will aid to the transportation of this part of Portland to a more livable city. Division Midway Alliance also urges City Council to prioritize a long-term safety strategy for Outer Southeast Division that will include the road diet and improving livability for this part of Portland. And I would add that street lighting is an essential component. Thank you very much.
Thank you all very much. You have some other invited testimony, Commissioner Riley?
I think that's all the invited testimony.
Okay, but we do have other people signed up to speak, I believe, so let's take those. Thank you very much.
I have 12 people signed up. The first three are Arlene Kimura, Crystal Ilinski, and Charles Johnson.
Good morning, Ms. Kimura.
Good morning. Good morning, Council members, Mayor Hales. My name is Arlene Kimura, and I'm a resident of East Portland. I'm here on behalf of the residents to tell the Portland Bureau of Transportation, thank you for doing the safety camera infrastructure improvements, and also to consider continued education. It is part of the program that was passed on the $300,000, but I do believe it needs to be an ongoing proposition. We are now seeing an influx of Arab-speaking refugees in our part of town, and I think those need to be addressed separately, and they can't just be done in one language. Signage is important. Thank you again, but I urge you please to not forget that this cannot be a one-time thing. It needs to be an ongoing thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson, I think you're next.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, Charles Bridge Crane Johnson. And although usually when I'm in that area, coming down from the Midtown Library, which is a little bit closer to Stark than it is to Division, these tragic deaths really remind us of what we're supposed to be about as a progressive and delightfully weird city, that we need to, it's unfortunate that we didn't come together better to look at the needs of elderly people and people with challenges about language comprehension, whether it's in their native birth language or in English, and rally around these people sooner. So I hope that that you, as elected commissioners and representatives of the people, will be as generous as you can in these constrained budget times, both with city staff as well as just the bottom line numbers. As you know, I'm a great skeptic of the time constraints and shortage of man hours in the police department when I see the huge responses that our police department is able to mount to nonviolent activity. And I hope that Chief Marshman is watching or will see this video and will be in that neighborhood and engaging with the leaders from Epano, the stores along Division just east of PCC are a joy to shop at. And as we move further east from there, that is what real community policing is having people from the police department of all ethnic backgrounds and from the Office of Neighborhood Involvement talking with the neighbors, in addition to putting in, as we need to give props to these people with their infrastructure, the infrastructure sign right here, a full-on onslaught of fast-moving infrastructure changes and people in the community working together to improve safety. I hope you'll find a bottom line number and man hours for this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Joe Wallace. I represent Individuals for Justice. I live on Division, believe it or not. I live in the 70s, but I also take the MAX, which is up by 92nd Street. And I don't know if any of you have done that, coming from the MAX station over to pick up the 4 bus. Very dangerous. I've almost got hit twice. The out of lane of cars cannot see you. So the first lane stops. So the person who pushed the button did everything right, and I'm old and I'm getting a little frail, so I'm a little slow. So when I walk into that second lane twice in the last year, I've almost been hit by a car going at least 30 miles an hour. because they don't see me. And they don't see the blinking light at whatever time it is, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. At nighttime, it's probably better. But at daytime, they don't see it. I looked at this, and this is the way a city council is supposed to work. People come to you with a problem. You look at it. If it makes sense to do something, do it. If it's $300,000 or $600,000, I would be more in favor of more money than less. And I know I hammer you guys about money. But in this case, you have to do something. And you could be stars. You know, you don't get that chance very often. You could be stars on the east part of this city. So please, do this. And if it takes more money, give them the more money. And I really like Commissioner Fritz's idea about getting more lights in. I like lights. They make the cars stop. The rest of it is a cheap way of doing it, and it's supposed to be temporary, and then we end up 20 years later, we're still doing the same thing. Get the lights in. Get the money done. Be proud of what you're doing. I really like your questions for a change there, Commissioner Fish.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Others?
Next three are Ken. I believe the first name is Ken, and it might be Namie, and Jessica Engelman, and Christy Finney Dunn.
Good morning. Who would like to go first?
Good morning. My name is Cam Marks. I live in East Portland. I've worked along division, and I was the EPAP representative on the PAL division High Capacity Rapid Transit project. So I know division very well. I'd like to start by saying, please approve this measure, but do that knowing full well that this is just a Band-Aid and that this is not going to have a significant impact on the situation on Outer Powell. And the reason for that is that this road needs significant redesigning to curtail what is happening. Everyone who knows anything about traffic knows that even with a 30-mile-an-hour posted sign or speed limit, that drivers tend to go 10 to 15 miles above that whenever possible. That's especially true in East Portland, where you have highways running through our communities. I would second those people who have suggested that there be a road diet on Outer Division. And the nice thing about that is you won't have to violate state laws on post sign or speed limits because you'll redesign the street so that it meets the requirements for lower speeds. But here's something that you should all know now. You have the opportunity before you to do this now, and it won't even cost you all a whole lot of money. And the reason for that is because of the high-capacity transit project that is going along Division. A lot of that redesign can be paid for by the federal government. You'll get your road diet. You'll get your infrastructure. And you'll actually make this system that's going along Outer Division a true BRT and not just a bigger bus that's going to take almost as long as it currently does to get people downtown or to wherever else they're going. So I urge you, yes, please pass this piece of this resolution, but go bigger, go strong, and do what's really going to be needed or that is needed. Otherwise, I'll make a prediction. And I'll be very sad when I'm in this chair 2-3 years from now. we will be talking about this same issue then if you don't do what's really needed. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Jessica Engelman. I am one of the co-chairs of Bike Loud PDX. And I am actually really impressed with all the people who showed up today and said a lot of what I wanted to say. So on December 10th, Bike Loud PDX, in response to the two pedestrian crashes on Division, held a emergency traffic calming endeavor where we just placed hay bales in the outermost lanes of Division to get it down to a three-lane, you know, moving traffic road. And, you know, the community, and normally when we try to do something like that, a lot of people push back and say, oh, you know, we can't do that because whatever reason. And we've actually had a lot of community members from the Jade District in particular come up to us and say, this is great, you know, are you going to keep working on this? And what they specifically are looking for are those infrastructure changes. There's, you know, a lot of great ideas for education and signage out as well, but I really want to push the infrastructure part. Between Southeast 60th and 80th on that same street, for $100,000, PBOT did redesign the road and greatly reduced. They reduced speeding by 50%, and they reduced crashes quite significantly. And we just kind of want that same effort continued out. You know, I got to say the same thing that, you know, Joe was saying here about you've got that two-lane problem, you know, where one car stops, the other car doesn't. That's endemic to the city. I live in Central East Side. I see it all the time on the streets there. I mean, it's everywhere. You know, definitely, I'd say, you know, the lane reallocation, let's not call it a road diet. Let's call it a lane reallocation because there are so many things we could do with those lanes. I mean, we've got the five moving traffic lanes, and we've got two parking lanes. We could have buffered or protected bike lanes and bus rapid transit lanes and still have three lanes devoted to moving vehicles. The opportunities are immense. Let's be creative. I agree with Commissioner Fritz here, or Fish here.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioner, Commissioners, and Mayor Hales. My name is Christy Finney-Dunn, and although I'm wearing a Families for Safe Streets t-shirt, I actually am here just as a mom, and I want to warn you, I'm very highly emotional today. On December 7th, one of my group members was talking to me about having just lost another member of our community at the exact same location that her son died on 156th in the Division. And just a few minutes later, I realized that there had been a second traffic collision at the exact same location that my son died, at 87th and Division. I'm feeling extremely emotional, like I said, because people are still dying on the same road and at the same locations. I'm feeling as though victims are still minimized in this arena, because we personally wrote a letter to the council and to PBOT, and we got no response about our concerns. Not a we're sorry that this has happened, to remind you again that still people are dying. We are the reason that this is so important. My son was 28 years old. He was a college student. He cared about equality for all people. I want to applaud you for taking the immediate action that was taken in this case. And I'm not going to talk about the infrastructure needs and the education needs because you apparently know that and you've already heard it. So I just want to stress the urgency. I want to stress that I'm here taking time off work. I was at the meeting yesterday taking time off work. And you're not seeing very many victims because nobody wants to talk about it. So I hope that you don't think, and I know you don't, but it seems to me that maybe people think that I'm the only one who's lost a child, or I'm the only one who's lost someone in this city because no one else is willing to get up and talk about it. They don't talk about it because they can't. So please, take us seriously. Use us. Put us in those education outreach things. Use our pictures. Use our stories, at least those of us willing to have you do that. And again, thank you so very much for the immediate action that you're taking on this, and And remember, it's here for the long haul, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
The next three are Ted Bueller, Noel Mickleberry, and Doug Klotz.
Good morning. Hello, Mayor and Council. Thank you very much for attending to this issue today, and thank you for the emergency funding for this. I encourage you all to vote.
Sorry, did you get to put your name in the back of the record?
My name is Ted Bueller, and I am a co-chair of Bike Loud PDX. And I want to thank you all for attending to this issue today. And we don't want to come up here again to talk about the same sort of thing again. And as you saw in Margie's slide, there's about 12 other roads in Portland that are almost as dangerous or just as dangerous as Division. I would encourage you all to see about getting those things accelerated and made safer so that you don't have to have us coming up here and telling you about people dying on the streets and you folks having emergency measures. There's all sorts of reasons to have fewer people dying on the streets of Portland, and it's in your hands to get the direction and the budget to your Bureau of Transportation and the direction and budget to your Police Bureau to make sure that the existing laws are enforced and that improvements are made to the infrastructure, and I think you all should get those things funded, and then you won't need to listen to us again. We don't want to come back, but we will keep on coming back if needed. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Noelle Mickleberry. I'm the Executive Director of Oregon Walks, the state's pedestrian advocacy organization. Outer Division has been an emergency for far too long, and this month's tragedies simply brought that to the surface again. Spoken to you many times about the drastic need for improvements and attention in East Portland. And to reach Vision Zero, we have to be proactive as well as responsive when our streets show us that change is necessary. We've asked for immediate change after fatalities before. This isn't the first time. But I will say that this is the most comprehensive response that I have seen. It includes community-driven needs and priorities, as well as explicit needs that were laid out in the Vision Zero Action Plan that include speed reductions and infrastructure changes that have been sped forward. And that's something to applaud PBOT for responding so quickly. And I also want to say thank you to Council for funding the proactive request that PBOT had for funding infrastructure changes on Outer Halsey during the fall budget bump. That's a really good example of seeing that a street needs changes and putting the money forward before tragedy happens. And so I just encourage us to continue to look at ways to do that as well. So just want to say to use this chance to fund a community-driven request that will support the suite of short-term and needed speed reduction and safety actions that have been proposed. This is certainly not the permanent change we need, but it's a desperately needed start for Outer Division to no longer be an emergency. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Hi, my name is Doug Klotz. I'm one of the founders of Oregon Walks 25 years ago. And been doing this for too long and with too little result, unfortunately. There's just so many issues throughout the city, and hopefully we can get to them one at a time. I support this obviously, and this is a start to all the other projects that Margie listed there. There's an opportunity to do a road diet or lane reconfiguration, especially with the Division Powell or Division Transit project. I know we've been told that we can't take a lane to put transit in there. Maybe we could rethink that. I mean, that will break up the crossing distance. There could be islands between the transit and the auto lanes as well. I also want to speak to what Commissioner Fritz said about lighting. It's my impression that in the 80s, standards for street lighting were lowered to save energy. So all the street lights got dimmer. And then those lower standards maintained through changing from incandescent to mercury vapor. And then even, as far as I know, with LEDs, we're still just going for the same lower lighting standard. Meanwhile, car headlights are getting brighter, for safety, except that when you're driving on a two-way street, the car lights are getting in your eyes, and you're causing your eyes to squint down, and now, they're fighting the lighting. And they say the lights are will cut off, but you know, every time somebody goes over a bump, oh, now they're up in your eyes. So I think we need to increase the lighting standards on streets like this and either, you know, put the lights closer together, you know, one between every existing one, or, you know, up the wattage on them with LEDs. It shouldn't be nearly as much of an increase in electricity use as before. So that's what I have to say. Thank you for acting so quickly, and hopefully we can have an effect here.
Thank you. Thank you all. Okay. Others?
The last three I show signed up are Paul Jeffrey, Alan Kessler, and Gerald Fittipaldi.
Okay, come on up, please. Sorry you had to wait. I didn't realize you were waiting to speak. And we usually let people with small children up early. Sorry.
We were having trouble being quiet in the hall, so.
Okay. Would you like to go first now?
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity to speak.
What's your name in the record?
My name is Alan Kessler.
Thank you,
Alan. The reason I'm here is I'm watching, you know, I live near Division Street, inner Division Street, so I'm fortunate in that regard. But I'm watching the progress that PBOT is making. You've added rapid flashing beacons. You've made these incremental upgrades. Everybody in this room seems to admit that the problem is speeds are too fast, and one thing I haven't heard today is crossing distances are way too large. And if speeds are fast and crossing distances are large, we can add all the education we want, but there are some people, no matter what the perception is, whether it's literacy or reading or sight or hearing, there are members of our community who don't have that perception. So we can't rely on that to get to zero. Anything else is getting to vision more than zero. If we want to fix the problem, we should fix the problem. And it's frustrating to watch money drip, drip, drip away on, you know, $250,000 flashing, rapid flashing beacon here, a crosswalk there, when we know what we need to do is reduce throughput. And that's politically really difficult, I understand. But that's what Vision Zero is. It's admitting that, you know, we're making this trade-off. We're either going to accept that mortality is a cost of mobility, or we're not. And if we're not, then we need less mobility. So what I'd like to see you do with $189,000 that's dedicated to words is buy traffic cones and narrow the lanes. And it's going to make people really mad, but it's also going to make people safe. If you rein in the lanes, make cars go slower. You know, we saw with the hay bills that works. And that's something you could do right now. Commissioner Fish, I was listening to you in the hallway. Look at 810.180 section 9 of the ORS. There's an emergency provision. You can declare a 120-day reduced speed limit. You can put up cones. You can bring the speed limit down to 20 if you want to for 120 days. See how that works. The statute's sort of vague. You could probably play with it and make the speed limit 25 for another 120 days. See if you get away with it. If you're willing to be bold and audacious like you were talking about, use the provisions that you have right now. Declare an emergency speed limit.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Gerald, good morning.
My name is Gerald Fittipaldi. I'm a transportation safety advocate. I'd like to offer my condolences to Mr. Jung's family and also the, I'm sorry, I don't know his name, but the other gentleman who died at 156th Street. I'd like to make an analogy between transportation and water. I think that safe drinking water is something that we take for granted in this country. It's not like that everywhere in the world. You can imagine if you go to another country, they don't have safe drinking water. It would be helpful to have signs and education. But ultimately, the root of the problem can be fixed. The root of the problem is the infrastructure. Maybe they have lead in the pipes or other problems that is causing the drinking water to be dangerous. And that's what I see here is, okay, we have a Band-Aid, and you know, we've got new people coming into the city. Let's put up signs in other languages. Fine, that's a good thing. Let's improve the lighting. But ultimately, to get deaths to zero, we need to overhaul the street. We need to reconfigure it, reduce lanes, add bus-only lanes. And really, 4 out of 5 of these deaths this year have been to pedestrians trying to get across the street. And so we need to keep that as a focus. We need to reduce the crossing distance. And one more point, Vision Zero is a concept that originated in Sweden. And the idea was people are human, they're going to make mistakes. So even if you have all these things in place, they shouldn't die if they make a mistake. So the idea is to lower the speed. How can you get people to go slower so that if they do something stupid, they've had a couple drinks, If they forgot to do something they're supposed to do, they shouldn't die for it. Just the same as we shouldn't die for drinking water that we forgot to filter or something like that. So thank you for your time, and I hope you pass this measure.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Morning. My name is Paul Jeffrey, and everybody has said everything I wanted to say, but I have another thing. It's ironic, or I guess it's not ironic, that we're all here for a street called Division Street. Streets should be centers of communities, and they should not be dividing communities up with many lanes of barriers to prevent you from getting from one side of the neighborhood to the other. So Division Street is actually, like its name, it's dividing that community. And we need to make streets back into the centers of communities again. And I think part of that is to stop considering only car capacity and car needs when you look at a street, and start considering and planning for people capacity and people needs. And to do that, you have to reallocate the space that you have for cars and the space that you provide for people. Cars are really inefficient ways of getting people around. They're convenient for the people who have them, but they're really inefficient. We need to make space for buses, to make space for people to just walk around. We need to change the way we think about streets and make them parts of the community again and not dividers of the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Is that all the folks that are
signed up?
Okay. Any further discussion or questions before we take action?
Mayor, I just a question for the commissioner in charge. I just Googled Chapter 810, and I'm obviously not the lawyer who understands that code, but could we ask the Bureau and the city attorney just to give us a memo on the contours of Chapter 810?
Absolutely.
All right, any other discussion or follow-up items? Then let's please take a vote on the emergency ordinance.
Novick?
I really appreciate the community members who talked to us and to the Bureau of the last couple of weeks. I appreciate everybody who came here today. Many of whom have worked on, like Christy Finney Dunn, have worked on these issues for many years. I also want to express my appreciation to the council for its willingness over the last few years to start spending some general fund money on transportation. For many years, the council basically did not do that, and largely due to Commissioner Fritz's resolution authorizing half of one-time money to go to maintenance projects, including transportation projects. We made a significant commitment of general fund money to transportation in last year's budget. And we just made another commitment in the fall bump. And it's really encouraging that this council is willing to allocate general fund contingency to do as much as we can, as quickly as we can, to end the carnage on outer provision. So I want to say how much I appreciate this council for something of a change in philosophy of the allocation of general fund money to transportation. Aye.
Great. 4 years ago, I was thinking this was going to be my last council hearing, and things changed. And today is 21 of 12. One of my husband's favorite albums was 2112. And so it's I appreciate everybody being here and everybody's attention to this crucially important carnage on our streets.
I want to thank PBOT. I want to thank Steve and Charlie. I want to thank all of our community partners who have come out today. And I want to add my voice expressing my deepest condolences to the families that are grieving. Aye.
Saltzman.
I want to thank the mayor, Commissioner Fisk, Commissioner Novick for bringing forward this emergency request, and I'm very pleased to support it. We have to do something better than we're doing now. We are clearly failing at pedestrian safety, and we need to do a better job. Vision Zero is great, but it's against the backdrop of record fatalities, so something clearly is not right. We need to fix it. The will in this room is here. The will in this council is here. And I believe it's on the next council as well. And we will find ways to make our environment safer for everybody who uses our roads.